Dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It is the first of 3 hours of VGK Hockey Talk on the Fox Sports Las Vegas station. We are coming to you live from City National Arena for hour number one. This is Nighttime at Noon. Darren Millard joined by Stanley Cup champion and Vegas Golden Knights analyst Shane Knighty. We are right in the middle of our Zoomathon, which is taking place throughout this day as the Vegas Golden Knights hold their media availability following elimination from the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Western Conference Final earlier this week. Coach Pete DeBoer, along with several players, have already spoken. Kelly McCrimmon will take to the microphone this afternoon. But Shane, in listening to Pete and Shea Theodore, Paul Stastny, who else did we hear from? Riley Smith, Max Pacioretty, Mark Stone, along with Alec Martinez, a theme that is coming back is just that continual process of trying to figure out how the offense went so quiet.
Well, it really is. And listening to the players, you know, they felt they generated some chances. The main word that came out of it is they didn't capitalize on opportunities. A lot of it, they felt they could do more in the power play. Special teams so important, and they were. It came down to, you know, look at the last two games, unable to come through in the power play. They had that 5-on-3, which they weren't able to score the one game late in the third. You give up some power play goals. And just, you know, this, and the evaluation is still pretty fresh. I think Alec Martinez maybe put it best when he said, you know, ask him in 2 weeks. Because right now there's still a lot of emotion, especially them getting home. So there's a little bit of excitement there, even though there's still a lot of disappointment. And, you know, the other common thread and common theme was they felt they were good enough to win. And, you know, that's good to have that confidence, but you still have to go out and execute. And I think that's, you know, the disappointing part is as close as they were, they really weren't out of any game. They did have a chance. Alec Martinez was right too with this, that sometimes and he's won two cups, having been part of one, you do need a bounce to go your way at some point. And maybe they didn't get enough, but you also have to earn those. So, you know, it's still fresh, even for us. I'm going to continue to probably, I might go back and watch some of these games and see, you know, really what they could have did. Yes, they could have did more net pressure in front. Pete DeBoer talked about it. He said, you know, the MO of this team was a rush team. You get to playoffs, the neutral zone is clogged down. Vancouver, Dallas, they had a really tough back check. They defensemen had good gaps. There's not a lot of room unless that team's going to turn it over in the neutral zone to create rush opportunities. So generating offense the hard way. Gritty.
Were you a player that hung on to the season after it ended for a couple of weeks, or were you able to rinse it? Because I got the sense in listening to a few of these guys that there's a mixture there.
It depends on the situation. I think this one is going to, you know, hang a little longer. There's certain years where, you know, you're happy to make playoffs. You're kind of an underdog team. And, you know, I remember the 1 year in 08 in Boston, we just made play. We had to scratch and claw to get the eighth seed. And we played the Montreal Canadiens, who were number one. Took them to seven games. We lost in game seven, and, you know, disappointing, but at the same time, a huge momentum shift for that organization. From then on, we kind of saw the Bruins, who had struggled at that point. So, you know, that one was probably easier to take. Being another example, Ottawa Senators, you know, President Trophy winners, lose in the last, I think it was 2.5 minutes left in the Eastern Conference Final. Mm-hmm. To New Jersey. We were down 3-1 in that series, came back, forced a 7-game at home, and end up losing on a goal with 2.5 minutes left. Jeff Friesen, not that my memory is not good, but I remember that. That one hurt because, you know, you had a team and Anaheim was waiting on the other side. We felt the winner of that would have a good chance, and New Jersey did go on to win. So that one hung longer. You evaluate that a lot more, and that's why I think this is going to stick with these guys, but it's how you grow from it. And Pete DeBoer mentioned that in his. He talked about the Washington Capitals, the Tampa Bay Lightning, teams that have been so good for so long and how many, you know, disappointments you have to go through to really get that chance to win. And I think any team that wins the Stanley Cup has gone through previous adversity. The Bruins, I missed 2010. They were up 3-0 on Philadelphia. Flyers came back that year, won. The next season they won the Stanley. You know, so how do you build off that adversity? What do you learn? That's why taking time and letting it sting, but learning from that can really help you as an organization.
So you're a big believer in that. It's not just the cliche and trying to help yourself
get
through something.
It's hard to win the Stanley Cup, but I think it's good to reflect. You have to reflect. You have to find ways. And them say, I like the fact they said they generated enough, but at the same time, understanding it wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. There are certain areas of the game they could have been better. The blue paint. Pete DeBoer said at both ends, Dallas won that battle. So that's an area that they've got to understand as players, as a team, they need to get better. So it is looking in the mirror. Max Pacioretty said he had to. He disappointed that, you know, as a goal scorer, they didn't come through in the power play. He felt that's an area when you're in a slump, the power play can be something that can kickstart you offensively. I like that they're able to accept that. Now it's a matter of turning, learning, and it is a long time. We don't know when they'll be playing again, but hopefully what you want to do is come back stronger and more mentally prepared, understanding how hard it is to win.
We'll hear from Pete DeBoer in just a little bit, as well as some sound. Shea Theodore had some interesting things to say about his individual game and the growth that we've seen from the VGK defenseman in the last year and a half. Is it fair to say that the fortunes of the Vegas Golden Knights swung on that 5-on-3? Is that too specific?
I don't like putting it, pinpointing on one point. It's the overall play. There's so many little plays that go into that, the whole series. I can even look at the overtime goal, the game-winning goal. You know, everybody, Zach Whitecloud, horrible penalty. Not his fault. He was tremendous. Mm-hmm. Horrible way to end the game, but there was a play prior to that that there shouldn't even been a penalty. They have a simple play to dump the puck in. You know, there's little plays like that where they tried to make a pass.
Oh, the turnover. Old cause and effect.
Yes. So I never put this on one play, area of a series where power play or penalty kill. It's the overall product.
Here is Pete DeBoer discussing what they went through and the struggles to find the net in the latter part of this postseason.
I think you have to look at your group. You know, we're not the Dallas Stars. We're not built like the Dallas Stars. You know, Dallas, to their credit, played to the strength of their group. You know, you've got Radulov and Ben and Corey Perry and Joe Pavelski, and, you know, they had a big, heavy group of forwards, and, you know, their game was to get pucks into the paint and try and outmuscle you in those areas, and they did that. You know, I think when I took the job, I think the MO on this team was great rush team. But we didn't have, a lot of that, 5-on-5 in zone offense. And, that was something that we continue to work on, because come playoff time, teams take away rush dries up. You're not getting open ice. You're not getting 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s. And I think we saw that in the Vancouver and the Dallas series, that they took that element away. And, I thought our group, definitely got better, at that offensive zone game and getting used to that. But, you know, it's something that we've gotten to have to work at, because, you know, we're not going to be strictly that type of team, but you have to, if you're going to win, you have to be a team that if they take away rush, you can grind some goals. If they take penalties, you can make them play with the power, with your power play. And, so there's some things we can learn there, and some things we can get better at. I don't believe it's a personnel thing. I think sometimes it's a mindset, sometimes it's habits, sometimes it's learning tough lessons that, okay, I see now, you know, how offense is going to have to be created if a team takes certain things away from you.
Next question will come from Chris Matthews.
Rolling up your sleeve? Sorry to step on you, Garrett Callaway, who is moderating the Zoomathon today. Nice job, by the way. Kept things snapping, going. Is that Pete just talking about rolling up his sleeves and getting the players to get their nose dirty?
The best way is for them to go through it. He said it at the end, the way we finished. Learn from this. And I go back to William Karlsson, talked about it. He said, you know, maybe we weren't efficient enough when we had chances. He said also the power play, simple stuff, shots through, take away the eyes of goalies. He said, and we weren't there on rebounds, not hungry enough. Those, to me, that's learning. That's understanding, okay, they're a great team. They've got a lot of talent, a lot of skill. that could create plays. Another one was Max Pacioretty said he's disappointed in the poise. And I think that gets lost when you lose confidence. Some of the poise, maybe shot selection wasn't good. You start to panic because you're not getting the goals. All these are things they needed to learn to score and to play different ways, because not every game, not every team is going to look the same way. And to win the Stanley Cup, it's the hardest. There's 30 teams that are going to evaluate because they weren't good enough. It is hard to win. And when you don't, it's about learning. And you need to be able to play numerous different ways. You need to be able to create offense a lot of different ways. You need to be able to defend. And a lot of it is the gritty heart. It's not often you're seeing a lot of tic-tac-toe plays that are going to lead to a Stanley Cup final and a winner.
Pete mentioned didn't think it was a personnel issue.
No. Well, you look at guys, and I this is a longer discussion. I think guys understand that, okay, I need to, adjust what I'm doing, in an in-zone offense on a five-on-five. Where am I going? Where's the poise to take a shot, to make a pass? Maybe that angle of shot, I shouldn't be looking for the top corner. Maybe I should be looking for the low pad. And then I should have traffic. Who's in front of the net? Should he be off to the side? Oh, there's one guy in front of that. It's recognized.
You're not expecting me to answer all these.
No,
right?
It's okay, recognition good. Of plays. Hockey is read and react. Mm-hmm. And these players now maybe learn different ways on how they should read and react as a line. And then there's other guys that are going to learn that position. He talked about Joe Pavelski, one of the best in front of that. Corey Perry's made a living out of it. He's, maybe not as effective, or certainly isn't effective as he was earlier in his career. Jamie Benn's a power forward. These guys are all older. I look at a guy like Alex Tuck, to me, who's gained massive strides here in playoffs. Him, Shea Theodore, so you got a number one defenseman. To me, Alex Tuck is now a top six forward. You got Nick Waugh coming in. I think he's a third line center. You got Zach Whitecloud. To me, he's definitely a top four defenseman now. These guys have made strides and they've learned. So Alex Tuck's the type of guy I look to now. He can score a lot of goals in front of the net. Getting gritty, gritting hard, playing, winning the battles. He's big, he's strong, he's got the hands. And it's a learned skill. And he's going to learn as he develops his game, but it's going to be another piece he adds to his game. So he's the type of personnel, and there's other guys that can do it too.
Dallas, to me, turned this into a small area series.
Well, they needed to. They didn't want to, they barely got by Colorado in an opened up style, but that's how Colorado was going to play. Mm-hmm. They were going to exchange goals. They didn't have the goaltending. They're missing a lot of pieces. And Colorado has a Nate MacKinnon. Not every team has a Nate MacKinnon. This Dallas, the Golden Knights played more to what Dallas was comfortable with when you look at the regular season, the style of game they played. Small area, slow it down, take away the neutral ice, don't allow them a lot of speed or anything off turnovers, odd man rushes, and try and win those battles at both ends in front of the net.
Shane Knighty's with me, Darren Millard here at City National Arena. Thanks for stopping by and enjoying nighttime at noon as we will continue throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs and through the week of the draft and NHL free agency. The draft will take place on October 6th that evening, and then the second round through seventh round will be on the 7th, which is a Wednesday, and free agency begins on October 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So a lot coming your way over the next couple of weeks as we track things on nighttime at noon. Before we switch gears, goaltending is a big topic of conversation. We're going to let you hear the sound from Pete DeBoer, who expanded on that part of the game with the Vegas Golden Knights and how he used his goaltenders significantly today. So we'll bring you that sound in just a little bit. But when you hear from players like Mark Stone and Riley Smith, and they call it a missed opportunity, and it keeps going back to that. And I like the way they didn't shy away from that, because they were so in front of it going into the Stanley Cup playoffs that their goal was to win the Stanley Cup. They didn't try and soften that blow at all.
No, and that should be their mentality. And it was as they went in as a group. That's why it hurts so much. They believe they had the group. Alec Martinez, who's played in a couple of Stanley Cups, said, I don't know if it's the best, but it's certainly.
That was right amazing to hear.
Yeah, the most talented team he's played with. And they are. But talent alone can't take you. You've got, and that's why they're, now you take, hopefully the majority of this team stays together. We don't know what's going to happen. There's always some change. Hopefully minimal, but now they take pieces of things they learned from a defeat, add that to this talented group with the understanding now of what it takes to move on, and you grow from it.
Are you a go the hard way and really enjoy the moment, or are you easy way and just slide on through and don't get bumped up. Because I'm an easy way guy. I don't like doing anything the hard way.
No.
Like to, yeah, I'm just a personal philosophy.
Did you not see my career? Yeah, I would say the easy way wasn't an option.
Good point. I'm taking the easy way today, too. Golden Knight fans, the best way to show your spirit, no matter where you are in Nevada, is have a Vegas Golden Knights license plate. A VGK plate is a great way to night up your vehicle and show everyone on the road what team you root for. So go to dmvnv.com/plates today to show your pride. You ready for the goaltending discussion?
Why not?
Okay, we'll bring you that on the other side. It's a lengthy answer. It's an all-encompassing answer from Pete DeBoer talking about the handling of the goaltending between Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury. Stick around for that on Nighttime at Noon, Fox Sports, Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports, Las Vegas.
Postseason media day for the Vegas Golden Knights. Full coverage coming up on the VGK Insider Show from 4 until 6 on Fox Sports Las Vegas this afternoon. You will hear from General Manager Kelly McCrimmon, who will speak later on today. But right now, Shane Nattey, Darren Millard discussing the players' reaction and what the coach had to say following the loss in the Western Conference Final in 5 games to the Dallas Stars. The players arriving home yesterday and greeting the media. And Pete DeBoer, at the end of his availability today, was asked about goaltending. And the subject came up, and there was a bit of a pause. And Pete said, well, here's a long, great, thoughtful, comprehensive answer to how Pete DeBoer handled Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Leonard.
My handling of the goalie situation is consistent from day one through, you know, today or next training camp. We're going to play the best goalie that gives us the opportunity to win that night. And, you know, you're opening the door to talk about this, so I'll give you my insight into it and as frank as I can be. When we traded for Robin, Robin, when you look at the stats over the previous 2 years, has been an elite goalie in the league in two different situations, on two different teams, in almost every category. And we played them, basically split them into the pause. You know, Robin played at an elite level and Flower played at a very good level. We came out of the pause, went into training camp. Again, I went in with the idea that if both guys played at an equal level, we would have given Flower the starts out of respect and what he's done for the franchise here. But Flower came into camp and unfortunately had an injury. Robin played at a really elite level. We split them through the round robin. Robin again was at an elite level. Flower was at a very good level, and you know, we made that tough decision, and I don't regret that. No one has more respect for Flower as a person or a teammate or his resume and what he's done for this franchise and through his career. But we made the decisions that gave us the best opportunity to win. And we're going to do that again going forward.
I understand why Pete wouldn't go down that path during the course of the bubble and in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But in listening to that, I really believe Pete DeBoer just gave the answer that a lot of people were waiting to hear.
And so the answer that a lot probably won't care about, but it's an honest, straightforward, thought-out answer, and it gives what he was thinking through this. And they came in, they split. Fleury had a little injury, and maybe it was a setback. We don't know in there, but that is the decision of the coach. Coach, they get paid to make the tough decisions in any sport. They're not paid to make the popular decision. They're paid to make the decision, as he stated it, that he felt gives his team the best chance to win. Whether it's agreed upon on the outside or not, that's the job of the head coach. And, you know, Robin Leonard, both these goalies played good. He said Robin Leonard had been elite, which you look at his statistics, he'd been very good. He got the start, and that was the thought process for Pete DeBoer, and it will continue to be his thinking as he goes forward for starting a goalie.
Robin Leonard won the job in training camp and then the round robin. That's what that whole thing came down to.
Yes.
And he was exceptional during training camp. He was the talk of that phase three. Do you think that's enough to soothe?
No.
Okay.
It's fine for it's enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to separate. I've been in the sport. I've played with teammates I love who have been traded. I've been traded. I've been with guys that at times I don't understand why they're not in the lineup. Somebody else is, but that's okay. You play the game. It is a business. And I think, you know, maybe I'm immune to a lot of this. I don't get a personal connection, but fans do. That's the great thing about fans. They have their favorites and they think, you know, not fans are going to have their opinions on why guys should be in the lineup or why this guy should play or that guy should get more ice time or why isn't this happening. That's what drives sports in general. That's why we have these type of shows for people to listen to opinions. But a head coach's job is to put the best team. His job is to win. That's what's on the line. You see the turnover for coaches in any sport and in the game of hockey. Your job is to win games. So he makes the difficult decisions, and I'm fine with this one.
Darren Millard, Shane Nattie here, nighttime at noon. Gordon Wagers is going to join us in just a little bit. He's going to pop on the program, bring us some of his thoughts and insight, and he's got a question for you that Shane,
I have the answer. That's the question.
Well, there's not a right or wrong answer.
Oh, good.
To
I like
it.
Those ones. Yeah, I wish I had those in school.
But there's definite opinion, so I'm looking forward to it. And it involves actually the winning goal, the series winning goal. By the Dallas Stars against the Vegas Golden Knights. Just one more on the goaltending, and then we can move on to some of the other topics that were discussed today. I know people are fans of Marc-Andre Fleury. This is not in any way to pick sides, but I will say it's refreshing to see a coach come into a situation and just look at it objectively without any past history and just go with his gut feeling. And I thought that was just refreshing.
It was, and that's there's no personal connection. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing you got to remember. Coming in January, fresh to this group, there's no past history with anybody, and I applaud the answer he gave. Whether people like it or not, that's an honest answer and great reasoning as to why he went down the path he did in his decisions with goalie and the starting goalie.
And you. Pete doesn't deserve to be second-guessed because it wasn't an issue in the end. They do not lose
games.
That.
How many times did I say that on every program? Unless one of those goalies is going to go out and score goals, it doesn't matter because the goaltending was fine. It was not an issue. They had no goal support.
So if goaltending's not the issue, if the blue line played great and they defended so well, is there an area that you would look to go, this needs to be addressed. We saw the influence of the Dallas Stars in the home plate area in that paint. We're a copycat league. Well, every league's a copycat league. You see success. Do you go down that path, or do you look and go, Dallas is a one-off? Where do you see twists and turns?
I like a lot of what I saw from the Golden Knights. I don't think there's a game where I said, well, they didn't have it. They had a chance. I think it's an area where I'd like to see the Golden Knights. You know, they've got different layers to this team. We said they can win different ways. Now they've got to find a way to score different ways. There's a lot of skill, a lot of talent. But sometimes you've got to have that willingness, that little extra ability to go to a place that's maybe not the most comfortable for you, but to find ways to score goals. And I think they're, you know, for that, that'll be, you know, generating some more offense off the cycle. In the front of the net, in the blue paint, and even defending in that area a little bit better on clearing out, boxing out in their own zone. So you try to improve all aspects of your game. But I think one area is for the Golden Knights to generate more offense that maybe isn't always related to skill and talent. That's related more to the, you know, putting the work boots on and going to the hard area.
Two areas.
And the power play. Sorry, that's pretty much coming from the players today. You know, getting hungrier, getting more determined to bear down on chances, and the power play. And that's pressure, but that's why the top players are out there. The power play needs to produce.
I'm surprised there was so much emphasis on getting to the hard areas compared to when you played. I mean, that was hard. That was really hard back
then. That's back then, cross-check was legal. That was a legal way of defending the front of the net.
It was encouraged.
Or for the offensive player too. They hack slash whack. It was, yeah, it was.
Like when you saw Hudobin giving Tuck a push, shove, and I was thinking like that's a push or a shove. There's no big whacks. There's no cowbells going. There's no. Nope. Nothing happening like that. But nope. We'll hear from Shea Theodore. He rose to prominence, was the Golden Knights' best player during the Stanley Cup postseason. And Pete DeBoer addresses the potential of a captain, plus Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Final. It's going to happen between the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is nighttime at noon. Those topics and Gordon, Big G, coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Today was to be the day of Game 6 in the Western Conference Final. Instead, it's the post-game, post-series, post-season media availability for the Vegas Golden Knights. Here is Shane Knighty along with Darren Millard. Gordon Wagner is going to join us in just a little bit from the Vegas Golden Knights Communications and Content Department. He has some questions that he's gathered for the likes of Shane Knighty, and also one interesting query about tactically how you play a certain situation. That's coming up in just a little bit, but we continue our perusement of what happened today with the media availability, and Shea Theodore was among those that spoke to us and talked about his incredible playoff run, what happened in the back half of his season, and what he takes from this Stanley Cup playoff appearance. Here's Shea Theodore.
I mean, I feel good right now. You know, I think I had a lot of confidence this postseason. You know, that stemmed from having a pretty solid regular season. You know, the break definitely helped. You know, I was able to, you know, get my body right, you know, get you know, mentally refreshed, and you know, come back in the playoffs with a hungrier mentality. And you know, I feel good. I you know, I'm excited for next year. I'm excited with the group we have, and you know, we're gonna have another good opportunity.
Where did you see the growth of Shea Theodore's game? Because there, you see it from a much more specific viewpoint.
Well, he said confidence. I think that's a major factor for him. Health, which obviously for what he went through battling cancer last year. But overall, we talk about Shea Theodore. His skating ability is just it's almost above elite. He's up there with those guys. He can skate forever. He floats his edge work. You know, we saw the goal he scored against Vancouver. We saw the rush he had last game, the ability to shake forwards offensively off the blue line, his ability to do everything with his head up and see the play to get shots through to the net. The biggest area is defensively, where we don't talk about it enough, how good he is in his own end. He's got a really good stick, a long stick. He, again, it comes down to his skating, his ability to take the puck, skate it out of traffic, move the puck. His passing ability is as good as it gets to lead the pass. We saw it on the Stevenson goal. But he can do it while in movement. A lot of guys like to get set when they're ready to pass the puck. He can get set on their strong side, their strong foot. He can do it skating backwards, off balance. He can get a pass. It's just all elements of his game now, and he's understanding it. I think there's just growth. So he's always had the skating, the offensive instincts, the abilities. He's added the defensive awareness, understanding the league as he's been in it longer, his opponents, the top players, how to match up against them, how to skate. His gaps are good because he can control it. He's got a long reach, great defensive stick. That has improved a lot. And then he sees the ice extremely well, and he's seeing it now under pressure to go back. His shoulder checks are on. So every element of his game that we maybe overlooked has gotten better. And then a decision. He's always had the offensive instincts and decision. They're just better now. And I think also the factor that he had the chance to play with a guy like Alec Martinez, you know, another important veteran to learn from. And that's why Shea Theodore is going to be a Norris candidate.
Two things that I want to get to. Darren Millard, Shane Knighty with you at City National Arena. It's nighttime at noon. The tooth was in. Should mention that. Shea Theodore.
I miss those. I used to have that, too, until yeah. I retired and got them all fixed.
fixed. The tooth was in today. Is the next step in Shea Theodore's evolution becoming a big-minute guy?
Yeah, and he can handle it easily. And Pete DeBoer, you look at his track record with, you know, elite defensemen, and you look at San Jose, he'll play them. You know, Shea Theodore is going to be a 25-minute guy, and he can handle it. You watch him play in these games, because a lot of these games they were chasing, he was getting those big minutes. Mm-hmm. And he's just so effective. And he's going to get stronger. He's still, I don't think he's hit his prime. Like, he's still at an age here of learning. And he is, that's what's so exciting. We haven't seen his ceiling yet. What's the ceiling going to be for Shea Theodore? I don't know. Can he be an 80-point guy? Can he be a 70-point, 60, whatever it is, and then still be the type of player that can shut down the other team's top two lines? Yes, he's going to be that, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, and the Western Conference loaded with great defensemen. Miro Heiskanen, Theodore was the better defenseman in the series. I thought Theodore did a great job balancing out Quinn Hughes in the Vancouver series.
And you talk about Hughes and Heiskanen. We forget Shea Theodore is a big guy. Mm-hmm. He's like 6'3". He's a tall guy. He's going to get stronger. He's going to get quicker. And you're right. There's a lot of extremely elite. Cale Makar's in the Western Conference. Him and Hughes a little bit younger, but
just a little bit. Because Theodore has been around for so long, we think of him as this
he's not much
grizzled
older.
Veteran compared
he's got,
to like, Hughes and
he's
Heiskanen.
He's got 2-3 years on Heiskanen, and then the other guys are a year younger. So
here's just an inside the game question. Shea Theodore and Alec Martinez became fast friends.
Yes.
When Martinez was acquired, they didn't know each other, and then started playing together and discovered that they're good buddies, so inseparable during the bubble. Who's your best friend as a defensive partner when you play?
Oh, a defensive partner. That is a good question, because I had so many.
But you had a lot of good friends as teammates, guys that you went out there every shift with.
Well, in a similar scenario, a guy that I got close with, it wasn't for a long period of time, but Mark Stewart in Boston. Hmm. Just because we took a lot of pride in being those, you know, hard to play against. We were the 5-6 pairing, gritty, played the same style of game. He was a young guy. I was the veteran. A quick story that's kind of funny, because you've gotten to know me, and I was older and, you know, kids and involved, and he'd come to the rink so happy every morning, and I'd be like, coffee. He's like, why are you so grumpy all the time? You know,
I said, so you've been like this for a while.
Yeah, I've been like this. Well, I was older in the league. I was in my 30s, and I'm like, well, you'll see someday. Oh no, this is, you know, he's excited. He's in the NHL. Well, fast forward to when I retired in 2011. The next year I'm broadcasting for the Winnipeg Jets. Mark Stewart's on the Winnipeg Jets. He's in his early 30s. He's playing with a young guy named Jacob Trouba. And I was talking to Trouba one day. So he's always grumpy in the morning. So, hey, careful. It comes with it. But, yeah, no, Mark Stewart was a great. Curtis Lecision, I was kind of the young guy. He was the older. But he was a great mentor for me in Ottawa. Very close with him. A lot of guys. I was always close with a lot of my team. And you need that chemistry. It's important to be, you know, to get along with your partner and have that. Not only on the ice, it's always important to have chemistry off the ice.
We're going to take a break in just a little bit, but want to get to the Eastern Conference side of things, because that series has been extended. Dallas is going to get a bit of a break here, which is unusual in the bubble. They've been turning over these series so fast. But the Islanders upset the Tampa Bay Lightning to force a sixth game in the ECF. And first time I've ever said that. I don't think I will again either.
No, I don't.
That
like
sounds
it.
Awkward. So the Islanders win in double overtime, Shane. It didn't even break 30 shots. That was a strange one last
strange
night.
Strange game. It really was. And, this is, if you're the New York Islanders, this is when you want to take advantage. Not only Stamkos out, no Braden Point. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, Kucherov looked injured at some point. Hedman, of course, scores. He's setting records. But credit to the Islanders, and take advantage of an opportunity. Great play in double overtime. Eberle, if you're a young kid watching how to execute a 2-on-1, that's to the forehand, and that's off his stick in a hurry. You know, onside kind of one-timer, smooth motion, didn't give the goaltender time to get set. Great play by Lee over to Eberle, and the Islanders find a way. And my favorite part of the whole thing is Semyon Varlamov, his celebration.
Penguin.
Safe.
It was
a dive.
I looked at it like a penguin going into the water.
I don't know, but it was great.
It was all, you're right. Sliding into the second base. He slid a long way too.
He did.
I was a little worried. I thought he was going to go right into the pile and everybody was going to tip over like bowling pins.
Well, congrats. And now the pressure is a little more on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I still see Tampa as a favorite, but the Islanders, they're not going to go away. Barry Trotz, I played for him. He's a great motivator. He's a coach you want to win for, and he's gotten every ounce out of this Islanders team. They're the only team left that started with a play-in round.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at the winning goal, I was screaming, shoot. Like, you're in double overtime. You've got a two-on-one. Oh, you've got an opportunity. Yes. The quarterback, Anders Lee, has got it on his forehand. I couldn't believe he made the pass, and it was
well, if you're going to make that pass, it better get through at that point. And if you're the defenseman, your only job there is to give the shot to your goalie.
Which they seem to do, and I'm not going to question what Tampa Bay is doing. It came off a weird play too. Yeah. Shattenkirk, a bit of a bobble too, although he's been outstanding.
He's been great.
What a reclamation that is. So they've got a couple of them, Zach Bogosian as well on Tampa Bay. Rock Creek Cattle Company, a hidden gem located in the heart of Montana. You've been up there.
No, I haven't.
You haven't been to Rock Creek yet?
I've yet to go there. But thanks for bringing that up.
I'm
sorry. Salt in the wound.
No, I actually thought you'd been there.
Believe me, I've asked.
It's a 28,000-acre cattle ranch. It's something for everyone. A world-class golf course. Shane loves golf, loves fly fishing, loves hunting, horseback riding.
I love all that.
And more. Escape the bright lights and discover Big Sky Montana. Exclusive memberships and real estate opportunities available now. Visit rockcreekcattlecompany.com for more information. I really thought you'd been there before. I wouldn't have done that to you.
Sorry, right, I'll get over it.
You frightened me, so I would not put that in front of you and twist that one. Gordo joins the show when we come back. Questions for Shane Nadi, he has them. Also, breaking down a particular situation in Game 5 against the Dallas Stars. What would Shane do? We'll put that into an acronym as we continue on the Knights Report. Nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Almaters might have a two-on-one here. Lee, through the left circle, he's with Everly down the middle, feeds him, shoots, he scores! Jordan Everly has won it in double overtime on a great feed from the captain! The Islanders win it 2-1! They stayed off elimination, and there will be a Game 6 on Thursday night!
That is Chris King with the call of the New York Islanders beating the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final. Back on Nighttime at Noon, Darren Millard along with Shane Nadi. So we always picture the play-by-play guy ripping his head off during one of those calls. He's in the booth. The arena sold out. Pandemonium. But this is Chris King. He could be in a closet or a boardroom or anything right now, and he's doing that. So that's the weird part of this whole COVID and broadcasting. We're in the studio where Dan Duva and Gary Lawless called the games for the Vegas Golden Knights coming off their five-game loss in the Western Conference Final to the Dallas Stars. It is the postseason media availability day. Much more coming up on the VGK Insider Show 4 until 6 on Fox Sports Las Vegas when Ryan Wallace will join me. But right now, let's bring in Gordon Weigers from the VGK Content Department. What are you going to bring to this show to make Shane Nadi and I better people?
Oh, geez.
I don't know if that's possible.
How long are we on the air, Darren?
We've got about 8 more minutes, so you've got your work cut out for you.
Okay, I'll need a few more shows than that. But just wanted to build off of that OT winner from Jordan Eberle. Anders Lee makes the pass, sets him up. That play almost doesn't happen because in the first overtime, Lee breaks his stick in the defensive zone, and he's out there trying to defend without a stick. And it leads to Kucherov having a great chance. He ended up just missing the net. It was one of those shots that goes wide, and you go, woof, that was almost it. And that made me think of Paul Stastny's broken stick on the penalty kill in overtime in Game 5. And my question for you, Shane, is when you're in the defensive zone, you've got a forward who's lost his stick, does there come a point where you need to just hightail it and get to the bench, get a new stick, have your team deal with the 5-on-4 or 5-on-3 or whatever's going to ensue for 6-7 seconds? Or, you know, we've seen plenty of examples of guys who can battle on a penalty kill without a stick in the defensive zone. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a tough play, especially with the, you know, depending where the bench. It was a long change, long way to go for your stick for Paul Stastny. And, you know, are you better off for him to leave? I don't think so, because it's still another body on the ice. And you can see up top the rotation. Stastny's going to try and stay. If you have it without a stick, he's going to try and stay in the middle and look for a shot lane and allow the top four or the other four to rotate more across. The defensemen are still going to have their job. But it's not a fun feeling when someone loses their sticks, because stick position is so important to take away the cross ice passes that set up the one timers, which we know what that leads to. You know what? I don't think that's in that scenario you have time to leave, because then it goes to a quick 5-on-3. It's better to have more bodies in the shot lane rather than one less body overall.
If it's not the long change, would you do it?
Not the long change. I think there's a time, and then that's off a read and react where the puck is, and recognizing, okay, I've got 3 seconds and it's in the low corner away from the side I'm on. I'll go to the bench.
And it's obviously no fault of Paul Stastny.
No,
he broke his stick blocking a shot. But there came a point where, you know, that power play unit for Dallas recognized that, and Haskinen and Gurianov and I think it was Radulov out there.
Yeah, you can isolate him, right?
You can isolate him. Yeah. You can,
and that's exactly what they'll try to do, is isolate them. But he can't leave there. They're trying to isolate him. It's one of those things, I guess, if you wanted to get a set up and say, okay, we're going to switch to a 5-on-3, you'd have to almost call it like football, call an audible on the ice, go to the bench, and then move to a 5-on-3 type situation.
If he did take off, you might as well just put another penalty killer on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it would be a flat-out change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gordon?
I've got a few more questions here, not from me this time, from some of our listeners and followers on Twitter. First one comes from Ben Bolin on Twitter. Ben, thanks for sending in your question. What should we as Golden Knights fans prepare for during the off season?
Well, that's going to be an open-ended question, because we don't really know how long the off season is going to be. It is such a bizarre...
It's an unknown. It's you know,
time. Because the players have never been off in a fall, for one. No. They're out of sync. The schedule is out of sync.
Camp would normally just be starting and getting ready for preseason right now.
So how would you handle it if you're an athlete, having an open-ended start date? We hope it's December. Could be pushed back.
Well, for the most part, they'll be off the ice. They've skated enough now. They're going to take a little bit of time to rest. Whoever has injuries, you're going to recover. They're going to get better, but it won't, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then they'll start getting back in the gym and they'll maintain. Guys, now it's kind of, ingrained in them. It's a daily habit to work out and to maintain that level of conditioning. When they go back on the ice, they won't know until they have more information of what possibly next year may look like. And that's why it's tough. So for the fans, they're kind of in the same boat as we are. Our jobs are to evaluate. Look, right now, what can you look forward to? Look forward to the draft. Mm-hmm. See what the future holds here for the Golden Knights. The draft coming up on the 6th, October 6th, 7th.
6th and 7th.
So you have that, and there's going to be free agency.
On the 9th, the Friday.
What to prepare for right now is to prepare for all those little things that are going to happen on how maybe, some moves. We don't know. And then next season, just stay tuned to information, to news, to hopefully what I hope the fans can prepare for is the return to T-Mobile at some point.
Yeah, and Mark Stone was pretty consistent about this all the way along.
Fans.
That he really missed T-Mobile. He hasn't been around here he wasn't a misfit, but boy, has he embraced that atmosphere.
He loves the support from these fans here, as we all do in the Golden Knights organization, and just looking across social media the last few days, there have been a lot of questions and a lot of opinions from fans, but a lot of positive messages. Thanking the team for giving them such a great escape during these tough times, and we thank those fans for sending those messages along. Also, some great things we've seen on social media the last few days. Yesterday the players getting home, we saw William Karlsson greeted by his dog Obi-Wan, and the cute reunion that they had. The dog was very excited. We saw John Merrill being reunited with his daughters, and my favorite part of that is John gives his girls a hug, and he says, "What's up, girls?
What's up?
What's up?
Did you win? No, but I'm home.
But I'm home."
So give me an idea of the reaction on Twitter, because you're a big social media guy. And and does the spike, really go up during the course of a period when they're on a power play? Take me through that.
Yeah. There's obviously different points in a game where fans are going to be more active on there after goals, both for and against. Goals for, a lot of positive messaging, obviously. And on the other side of that, when there are goals against, it's there's a lot of questions of who should have been out there. you know, why did this person do this? Like, this person's such and such. A lot more opinion than celebration on the goals against, and especially after a loss. You know, talked about the positive messages, but there's also a lot of people who think that that things could have and should have gone differently. And you know, people bring up a lot of valid points. But throughout the course of a game, it's those peak moments and then as well between periods when people have a little more time to jump on Twitter.
We have one more. We're with Gordon Weigers from the VGK.
I've got a trivia question for you guys.
Darren's going to win that.
That's, you know what that was right there? That was him calling me old.
Oof.
That's what that was.
Not really, but you are old. That's me calling you old.
It's not that old of a question.
Okay.
The last three seasons, there have been repeat appearances by players in the Stanley Cup Final with different organizations. David Perron, James Neal, and then there was obviously with the same organization, the back-to-back cups for Pittsburgh, players reaching the final multiple times in consecutive years. Patrick Maroon has a chance to do that with the Lightning this season, but not in the last, in recent memory has a player won back-to-back championships with different organizations. Who was the last player to achieve that feat?
Last player to win back-to-back with different organizations. Was it Pittsburgh?
It was not Pittsburgh.
I was thinking like Pittsburgh was one of the teams involved.
Nope, they were not.
I wanted to say Hossa, but he did. He just won with Chicago, but he went to the Cup 3 years in a row. He lost one.
Yeah. If it gives you a hint, I was born in 1994, and this has occurred during my lifetime.
Joe Nieuwendyk?
Not Joe Nieuwendyk.
Okay, I don't know.
Claude Lemieux, 1995 New Jersey Devils, 1996 Colorado Avalanche.
I thought it would be
more recent
than that.
Yeah, that's...
I thought I was stretching with Joe Nieuwendyk. But
which is crazy for the amount of back-to-back appearances we've seen for guys with different organizations. But
wow.
So it goes.
I can. I think I can speak for Shane here when Gordon comes on and makes us look like we don't know the game. There's not a real good opportunity or possibility that he's going to be invited back,
exactly.
Is there?
That's not a good way to get yourself back on the show.
We'll have a meeting after the show, and we'll discuss it as we go through more sound from the Zoom-a-thon with the Vegas Golden Knights postseason media availability. 4 until 6 with Ryan Wallace. You'll hear more from the players, the coach, Pete DeBoer, and Kelly McCrimmon. Thanks for joining us today, Gordon.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck with your future endeavors. For Shane Nattie, I'm Darren Millard. Thanks for listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.